Hi, Alesh. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome. Hi as well.
First question is, how Christmas is celebrated in Slovenia? So what is another typical...
Yeah, like everywhere else.
Not necessary, because what I already found out that in discussion with people from, I think it's called Czechia and Slovakia, and they have different kind of cookies and different, sequence of events. So there are already differences in former Czechoslovakia.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think that Slovenia is like probably mostly Roman Christians, right? So and a few Protestant, probably from...
But is this what kind of cookies you have?
I mean, we at home, I don't think... I mean, it's like my mother makes those, walnut cookies, like in the shape of like a sea or like a moon or whatever, how you call it, right? Yeah, but that's it. I mean, or it's like a round cookie with a walnut, like a still a whole half of the walnut baked into the cookie.
And what's the name of it in Slovenia?
Good question. Kifelčki. It's like...
Kifelčki. Very good. So, yeah. And what was your favorite, you know, present as a kid?
I always liked Legos.
Very good. Yeah. Mindstorms or Technic or what kind of Legos?
Normal, just like... I mean, it used to be hard to get them, right? It wasn't like this.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my father or whoever went to abroad.
Nuremberg, I guess.
Germany, and yeah, and then he brought you, I mean, he was able to buy Legos and brought them. And most of them, he was there a couple of months earlier, right? So he bought them and my mother hidden them, and then I got them at Christmas, actually at New Year's, right?
Ah.
Yeah.
And what was your favorite set, Lego set?
I couldn't recall that there was a favorite. I mean, I liked all of them. I mean, at that time, probably you could buy like a really, really huge box, but that was super expensive. So what you mostly got was like small boxes. And then, of course, the moment you got them, you assembled them. And then probably there was, I think, during that time, I don't know how it's now, but you were able to the blueprints they had, like there wasn't just one thing you could assemble, right? You actually had alternatives.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I also remember that back then you had different alternatives. You're right.
Yeah. So that's what I did, but then I slowly disassembled the whole stuff. I had a huge, box under my bed, and then I threw all the Legos into that place and then just assembled something on my own, right? Not from the blueprints or just whatever.
Yeah. And when you got the gifts at 24th in the evening?
I mean, my mother went to church. Everybody else didn't. So we got the presents on the 1st of January.
Yeah. 1st of January?
Yeah, like for the New Year's, right? Yeah, we didn't actually celebrate Christmas as much at my home. So.
Okay. Yeah. 1st January, they have to wait 1 week longer. So this was endurance.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to less important things like Quarkus. So you started in the Quarkus development, right?
Yeah, not from scratch. I mean,
no, but you switched from, you know, Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
To Bats to Red Hat?
To Streamzy, back to Red Hat with Streamzy, and then from Streamzy to Quarkus.
Yeah. And this was, how early was it? Was it like Quarkus already 1.0 or which version?
I think it was already. I mean, I contributed to 1.0, so because I know I have the t-shirt, I contributed to, I made Quarkus 1.0 t-shirts. Mm-hmm. They gave them up, I gave them away, so I got that one. But yeah, I joined when it was already Quarkus 2.0. So.
And what was your, which team or which assignment you got? Which area was it?
I think the guy who's doing Reactive, especially the gRPC thing, moved away. He left Red Hat, so there was an opening. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's what it is. So I mean, at that time, what we wanted to do is we actually have our own. There's like a existing gRPC implementation done. Probably, I think it's from Google, right? It's like a library with the server on top of Netty and so on. But what we have with Vertex, we actually have our own implementation of gRPC. Mm-hmm. And what my assignment was that I had to integrate this Vertex gRPC into our existing gRPC supporting corpus. So currently still by default we use the the old one, the Google's gRPC server and clients, right? Mm-hmm. But with some configuration changes, you can switch to our own Vertex-based gRPC. So instead of, for example, running two HTTP server plus the gRPC server, you can just run our own Vertex HTTP server, and gRPC is just going to be integrated into that existing server. So just running one HTTP server, right?
Mm-hmm. This is the default right now, right? No.
I think at one point it should be the default.
Why it isn't?
We're still sort of unfortunately finding some smaller issues. The old one is like battle proven, right? It's been around for years and years, right? So. And then the integration. Integration, actually, you don't see, as a user, you don't see much of it, right? Mm-hmm. You're basically annotating your services as a gRPC service, or you just inject yourself with a gRPC client, like an interface, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the service interface, but it's like the client side. The old one, the legacy, I don't want to call it the legacy, but definitely, yeah. That one is still pretty much battle proven, been around for ages. Whereas our stuff is new, right? So we're slowly, the Vertex team is implementing it's not a big specific spec, right? For the gRPC, it's not. Mm-hmm. But still, yeah, there's some small details that we still find some of the stuff. I think with new Vertex 5, we should definitely change to that being a default.
Right? Uh-huh. And then Corcus will ship with Vertex 5 and then default gRPC, native Corcus gRPC or native Vertex.
Hopefully something like that, yeah.
And the only downside is that it consumes right now a little bit more resources, right?
Yeah, a bit more resources. But, you get the nice thing, at least on the server side, is right, you just have to have a single server, so you don't have to duplicate your configuration for our security stuff, like the certificates and all. Plus, if you're really good and if you're really familiar with what you do with the HTTP server, that's all you have to do, right? You just, if you switch, you just reuse all of that through HTTP server, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you're still working on gRPC?
With Vertex 5, there's some adding. We're going to add some new features, but that's mostly like a question for the Vertex guys. But it's going to be transcoding, and it's going to be like the gRPC web. It's going to be a bit. There is some support for it, not in Quarkus, but you can get. So with new Vertex, it will be easier to get gRPC support in the web itself, right? So out of the browser as well. But yeah, that's something that we're still working on.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So, so your main area is gRPC, and I think OpenTelemetry as well, right?
Yeah, I'm helping. There's Bruno who does most of the work for OpenTelemetry, but that's like a huge topic to cover. So I'm helping him out. At least at one point. We started off like a proof of concept with different, telemetry things. For example. Collecting the matrix, collecting the logs, the traces, exposing them through Prometheus or Victoria matrix, or the end visualization through Grafana and so on. And I did that like a per container, like each container being on its own. Mm-hmm. But at one point, Bruno somehow, and we found out that there's like a LGTM stuff, support like an image that actually contains all of these things together really nicely, supported by Grafana guys. So instead of having, at the end, it's still, it's like a single image. It's still there, but they're making sure that everything runs nice and smooth, right? So they inside that image, they start off all these things that I.
No, oh, what's the name of the image? So this is like a container image which ships with major OpenTelemetry.
The LGTM name. L is for Loki, which is I think logs.
Mm-hmm. LGTM. Loki, I guess. Grafana,
Matrix. T is from Tempo or something.
Exactly.
Like that. Yeah. So.
And who is in charge of the LGTM image you are using?
The Grafana guys are delivering that image.
Okay. Cool.
It's like an open source project on GitHub.
This is what they are using as reference for testing, right?
Yeah. Instead of me doing like what I did initially from the like proof of concept to start off each container on its own, mm-hmm. I'm just starting this image, running this image, and it all ends up, it starts up nicely, exposes things that should be exposed. Mm-hmm. So you actually get everything out of the box, right? You get the OpenTelemetry connector, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can.
Exporter, I think, right? Or exporter the.
Exporter, yeah. So you can export the matrix through that, and then that takes care of it and pushes it into Prometheus, and then Grafana already knows where Prometheus is, so it just ties nicely into it. We're adding already a couple of dashboards out of the box. We added a nice support so you can put your dashboard configuration into your app and we'll pick it up, right? And so on, right?
Very good. So two topics for today is maybe too much. So if you already started with OpenTelemetry, so we should maybe proceed with that. And if time allows, we can briefly cover gRPC as well, what it is. But my impression is, I use metrics a lot. And what I really like were the microprofile metrics. So they were the application and system metrics. The applications were from the my counters, my metrics, and the system were what the server and the JVM provides. And then microprofile metrics was somehow deprecated more or less and was replaced with micrometer. And now is my impression that micrometer becomes like the internal implementation, but OpenTelemetry becomes the absolute standard, right? So, and this is like, and the microprofile OTEL spec just provides the, not much, it just says what has to be available, but there's not much about that. So I would say the OTEL would be the standard microprofile which everyone focuses on, right?
Yeah, probably, right? That's probably a better question for Bruno than me. Bruno's been battling this for a long time. When we discuss it, we can see that micrometer somehow became almost like de facto standard. Mm-hmm. But what was before? It was like not
open. Microprofile metrics. So there was an own implementation.
Open tracing, OpenSensus,
and so forth. But this were like the CNCF. But the application servers, everyone did something different. There was the microprofile metrics. And some used Hystrix, for instance, from Netflix, which was deprecated. Others implemented by their own, and micrometer came a bit later, is my impression. And now the OpenTelemetry is more like open standard, but it also ships with Java reference implementation. This OpenTelemetry, which happens to be the most popular and the best supported one, which is also interesting. So the OpenTelemetry standard ships with reference implementation, which can be used inside Corpus.
I think there's integration with it either directly with micrometer, so you get the or I mean, or you can get the OpenTelemetry stuff, right? But I remember back in the days when I did the Streamzy stuff, I was also in charge of the, doing the matrix and tracing and so on. And I can just remember that at least OpenTelemetry was always interesting to see that how the versioning was always like alpha and they were changing the APIs all the time. Mm-hmm. So it was a challenge to keep up with the changes. I mean, I just recently what we did was we, because of the, so that we're not lagging too much behind on OpenTelemetry, Bruno upgraded to almost like the latest versions of it. But that changed, and we are back to gRPC, right? Because it's it has a gRPC support for sending the data. And because we are still on the gRPC version 3, so mm-hmm. we had to change to version 4. But that means we had the whole Quarkus, all the extensions that somehow rely on gRPC, they had to be able to understand gRPC 4, right? But not all of them were actually able to do that. For example, we had a Pulsar thing that was still stuck on gRPC 3 and proto buff, yeah, the old proto buff, right? The version 3 as well. And there was like a funny story behind it as well. So at one point, you see how you, from the gRPC, when you get the messages that are actually you have the proto buff, proto file, and it generates the services, the client, the messages, and so on. And all of the messages previously, they were extending the generated message V3, right? Uh-huh. And at one point, they threw away that class in version 4. But since still a lot of things were depending on this one, everything else was like an implementation detail. You didn't actually even know that either you went from proto 3 to proto 4, right? Uh-huh. Apart from that, when you did that, you were missing that class. So later on, in one of the later versions, in version 4, they added back that class, which made things work again, right? So the Pulsar stuff was broken for a couple of versions, and then...
You mean that Pulsar is like the competitor to Kafka, right? Is it like
yes.
The, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that, and you have support for Pulsar as well, right? Similar to, yeah. I mean, probably pretty trying as close as possible to the Kafka experience, right? With Pulsar as well. So yeah, a couple of versions didn't work with Pulsar because that class was missing. And then like as silently as it went away, silently came back and things were working.
Yeah, protobuffer is like the serialization protocol for gRPC, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so OpenTelemetry and gRPC. So maybe we cover briefly what gRPC is. So gRPC is, if I look at gRPC, it reminds me of CORBA because it's very, very similar. This is like the IDL, interface definition language. So you generate some code and then it works. And this is actually funny because everyone said back then CORBA is bloated and too verbose. And then we got gRPC, which is from developer perspective is almost the same experience. Except maybe the internal implementation is a better. We don't even know. Truth was, CORBA was a little bit over-engineered because you had to fetch the naming service first. And if you have the naming service, you had to fetch the proxies and then use portable object narrow. And then you got the references. But this could be fixed, actually. It didn't have to be that verbose. But yeah. So now, what's gRPC in what's your take on gRPC? What is it for you?
I mean, okay. Actually, when I was at crypto stuff for a year, right? Mm-hmm. We were using gRPC to do the internal communication between the services. Uh-huh. Because it was, at least, I mean, there was a lot of small messages and had to be fast, right? Mm-hmm. And gRPC is probably exactly that, right? It's like a remote procedure call, right? That's and probably G is what stands for Google, I guess. Or mm-hmm. Yeah. So with Quarkus, you just make that even easier. You just annotate your stuff, implement the methods, and you get everything else out of the box for free. So it's like a part of CDI, right? Your service. So you can inject whatever you want. You can set transactional boundaries and so on. Similar with clients, instead of you having to deal with the how to get the channel, how to configure that channel with all that stuff. You just get it injected as well, and you're done, right? You don't care about...
But how would be the development process with Quarkus? You would start with IDL and generate, or would you start with the class and generate IDL? So what do you
mean? You, for example, the Maven plugin understands you have the Maven, the proto directory in your sources, right? Uh-huh. Which then has the proto files. Quarkus plugin speaks proto as well. So it's like the Quarkus plugin, the Quarkus Maven plugin has this generate phase, right? And then you can have different generators. If there's like a different generators, like a code gen on the class path, it knows. And we have this our own proto code gen, which I mean, of course, it uses. There's like another twist to this story as well. Just recently, we take the proto buff right gen and proto C, right?
But wait a second, just the proto C. With Quarkus, the way is still you would start with IDL, put it to the proto directory, and Quarkus would generate the code, right?
Yes, exactly.
This would be the still would it be possible to generate the reverse engineer a Java interface or Java class to the proto file, or is it?
I think at one point that I remember like all discussions. I think actually even went to all the way to Jakarta for this, to somehow that it would be possible to reverse the stuff, right? So you have you'd actually do the interfaces or
exactly
get messages or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then this would generate the IDL, in this case, proto file, which you would be able to then distribute around for everybody else who would want to go the normal generation, right?
Yeah.
Currently, I'm not familiar with anything similar, so it would be the reverse. But you still have to go from proto file to generated classes and so on.
Uh-huh.
And the twist to this story, like I said, we have this generation phase in the plugin, and we are using the proto C stuff, which is from Google or whatever, right? From the community. Uh-huh. And this brings, because this requires different proto C for different platform, right?
Uh-huh.
If you're using OS X with ARM, you have to have this binary. If you're on Windows, you have this binary, Linux, this binary, uh-huh. blah, 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 and so on. So for us to do that, we have to have all these dependencies listed inside the gRPC extension, right?
Yeah, so exactly, because we don't know on which operating system we will
build. Mm-hmm. They all have to be listed, and when you bring them, when you download the stuff, it brings all these huge binaries, right? But what a colleague did, Andrea Peruffo, that I don't know if you're familiar with WebAssembly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So he was able to take, get WebAssembly and take the C++ code from Proto C, uh-huh. right? And somehow mesh it all up with the WebAssembly, creating WebAssembly things. And there's another project, which I don't remember the name, but which knows how to take WebAssembly and make it into Java, right?
Uh huh. So GraalVM.
No, something else. It's.
Okay.
I can check it up. I'll uh-huh. let you know. And it takes WebAssembly stuff, turns it into Java, and we end up with a single 1 mega, 2 mega big jar, which knows how to do Proto C based on the platform, right? Because it's Java, right? So, yeah. So
that's actually super cool. It's like Java C is also Java, right? It's the same approach. So, uh-huh.
yeah. So that's, just previous week, previous week, Andrea started a discussion on what to do. Because now we have this, the old one, like where we get all these 20 different artifacts.
Uh-huh.
and do our own magic on top of it, right? Or we can go the WebAssembly way. Probably we're gonna currently do both. We can just not, I mean, cannot just throw away the old one, which is again more proven. But if it will slowly be, I mean, you can already use this. It's called GRPC Zero, and you can already use that. It's part of Quarkiverse. But as Andrea suggested, we want to move it into the core, Quarkus core.
Very good.
And that would become a default, right? Mm-hmm. So once we see that it's running against all the tests that we have, right? But as you know, like not, probably there's still some stuff which tests don't cover. And until we're completely sure that everything is working as it should, probably won't switch to default. But yeah, I mean, eventually we will switch that to default and making things a lot lighter. Instead of 100 of megs, it would just be like 1 or 2 megs of that jar dependency.
Actually, super cool story, and this is another good case for Java portability, because if you will have to ship all the Proto-C binaries, you will also have to patch them. So this is, if you have several operating systems, the chances are very high that one of them has a security issue, and then we'll always have to reship the entire thing, right?
Yeah. Okay. The only issue here, as far as I remember, is that once Andrea takes the Proto-C code, the C or C++ code, there are some things inside that code that WebAssembly doesn't like. Mm-hmm. So he has to patch it somehow. He has to apply some changes to that Proto-C C code. And I guess anytime anything changes, I mean, and Proto-C code looks like it's still changing. It's not like, oh, this has been done. It's not going to change it for like 5 years. I think it's still done a couple of times a year. Uh-huh. And as far as from Andrea's discussion that we had, the patches are not always, like the same patches are not always applicable, like one-to-one. So still has to go and check what changed in the Proto-C code.
Yeah, but still, for Andreas is a huge pain, but for the users is a huge gain, right? Because
exactly.
We get one jar and we don't have to care about the operating system, and this is no security issues. We could just run it, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So, Spain is users' gain, right?
Yeah, but. Let's assume a perfect Quarkus project, right? So we have one Quarkus client and one Quarkus gRPC server. So the first thing is they have to share the protobuffers somehow, the definition. How you would do this is we will put it to the server and then generate everything and then export the jar to the client. Or what would be, your choice? To get some ideas from you. I have two Quarkus projects. Like the server and the client, and the client accesses the server via gRPC. So they have to share the definition somehow. So how you would do this?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I guess you can always have, like, you have the server side, you have the client side, and then you have the third module as well, which is
exactly.
Proto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I do it. Like, but it's like normally how you do it, right? If you have to share the DTOs or something like that.
And how you did it in the crypto project?
Yeah, I think that was the case. I mean, in that case, there was no Quarkus yet. So we were using the Maven plugin, the protobuf Maven plugin directly as this.
Okay.
I don't know what it's like, the old some stuff that exists. I think it's been, 7 years until then.
Okay.
Since then. But yeah, I think, how else? I mean, you wouldn't want to depend on the server side as well from the modules. So you create a middle
module.
This
is the question. Because what I thought, what you could do is you could maintain the protobuf file on the server and even make it downloadable, to the client. So the client could build against the server. This would be also possible. This is what I thought. Almost like a Vistl back then in the dark ages. But the idea, that it makes it downloadable. And the client, if it builds, it accepts. Of course, the server has to run, but you could, download protobuf and just generate. Because if it is maintained somewhere else, it's almost like independent spec, which is maintained by a third team, and they, you know, maintain the API, and server and client has to adopt the API. But I think what's more usual in enterprise project, the server team dictates the API and the client has to use the API, right? And if it breaks, there is a compiler error. This is at least in my projects.
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing with some stuff as well, and I have two different projects, but then I'm using a sort of like the libraries that I created throughout the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I have this Git submodule, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm bringing in the code. I mean, like I have this A project, and I have this B project, and I have this libraries project.
Mm-hmm.
They're all different repositories in GitHub,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm actually tying this libraries project as a submodule in both A and B.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I see the sources of course, I see lib sources in A and B, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to just change them on the fly. I don't have to open the library project in the IDE on its own. I can just change it in A, commit it, and then pull it out in B, and B will see the changes I made in A.
That is a super cool idea. So what you are doing is you are sharing source code, not bytecode.
Yeah, exactly, source code. I can actually even, for example, if I don't want to share the sources, right? I can just have a profile that.
No, but this sharing sources, actually, I thought about this idea a lot this year. And what I started on my GitHub account, lots of tools which starts with Z for zero dependencies. I have a zero web server, zero MCP, and so forth. Or zero config. This is just one class which reads the property files from your home folder, and then if it doesn't find anything, you know, from your project folder. So minimalistic thing, which I use over and over again. Yeah. And what I do is, to reuse the thing, I just copy the source code over. But what you are doing with your library is the same with Git submodules. I try to avoid that. But I also heard in another project they are doing this. So actually sharing source code, Java source, is actually with modern Java a great idea, because you don't need, you know, a build system, whatever. You can just, and the cool story is you can maintain the source code from both projects, right? So if you're a common library, you can maintain it from project A or from project B and keep it up to date. But if you create a jar, it's more painful, because it what you will have to do is you have to switch to the common projects, build the jar, and reintegrate it in both other projects. It's way slower. So your idea is actually, I like a lot. And I doing this as well without knowing, actually, because, the entire jar is pointless. I just copy the source code over and it worked perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, when you're developing locally, it wouldn't be a problem, right? But if somebody else also depends on it, right? Instead of having to explain him the whole stuff, you need to, there's like a third repository which you need to
mm-hmm.
use, and this, and you probably don't want to give them the rights to something like that. Or can just have this read only or something like that, right?
So, mm-hmm. Okay, then you're right. But if this is a team, right, then it's perfectly fine. It's okay. We have a shared module with some source code, and you don't have to build it. You can just reuse it across team, and it's done, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Super cool. So back to gRPC. So though we managed to distribute the protobuf somehow, in Quarkus, what would be the minimalistic Hello World server? This is just annotated Java class, I assume. And what do you have to do exactly?
Okay, you have the service definition in your protofile.
Mm-hmm.
Then it will generate like a actual class with all the methods inside. But mm-hmm. if you call those methods and you don't override them, right, it will be just throw an exception. So you mm-hmm. have to, I mean, somehow doesn't force you to, it's not like then it's abstract as far as I remember. I think it's all the methods are there. You just have to override them, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't override them, if you call them, they will throw an exception.
Mm-hmm.
So
like a template. It's like a servlet almost. You also have to override the node to get
the
code. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then all you have to do is just annotate. You heavy implementation, which extends that generated class.
Mm-hmm. And with what? With application scoped, with request scoped, or with something specific?
gRPC service. So that we,
gRPC service. Yeah. It is a Quarkus annotation.
Yes, Quarkus annotation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there any Smorai project with that?
Smorai?
Mm-hmm. Or a microprofile?
You mean just with annotations or what?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware. I mean, there's like a, inside Quarkus, the gRPC extension, there's like an API jar, which is really minimalistic. So mm-hmm. it just has the annotations and a couple of classes. So, mm-hmm. yeah. That's probably what. Okay, you still, when you're doing, you still depend on the extension. So you're probably, you're actually depending on the whole stuff that's, mm-hmm. that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, or...
But gRPC service, and then it's enough, right?
Yeah, gRPC.
And enough. The lifecycle is like, is managed by gRPC, or I can, or I should put application scoped or request scoped on top of that?
I think by default, if there's none, good question. Do I actually even allow? I mean, probably the application scope makes sense, right? I don't see how or why would you want request scope or something like that, right?
You're just cleaning stuff between, you know, just
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think
you have to try it out. And yeah. and the client side, how would it look like? You inject what? The generated client counterpart.
Yeah, we also generate. There's a project called Mutiny, right? Which is like a React implementation done by Red Hat.
Mm-hmm.
And we also generate from that. Like I said, we extend the generation, so we also generate Mutiny interfaces and so on. So we also generate like a clean interface of your service methods, right?
Mm-hmm.
So actually, the stuff that you are extending also implements that service interface, and that mm-hmm. service interface is exactly how your client interface looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just say at inject. Actually, you have to do. I don't think even you have to do. You just annotate. You can add inject, it wouldn't hurt, but you can just also just do add gRPC client,
mm-hmm.
And then the interface of the client, and that's it. There's like a name, because you need to somehow tell where the server is, right, where the service actually lives.
But you have to annotate the generated interface, or you have to create your own interface which inherits from the generated?
You just use the generated interface.
Mm-hmm. And then you can inject the generated. It's similar to REST client, microprofile.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and then we deduct the name from the either from the field, right, or from parameter name and so on,
mm-hmm.
Which then means that at least some configuration for it needs to exist, right, for that client,
mm-hmm.
at least to where to find the server side.
Okay, cool. So then we covered the gRPC, and this is bidirectional communication or request response.
Yeah, I mean, that's the purpose of gRPC. I mean, that's the beauty of gRPC. So you can somehow stream data.
Exactly.
Left and right, right?
Yeah. Okay, this is also supported.
Yeah,
this is already pretty cool. Okay, so gRPC covered, I would say. And now open telemetry. Okay. You mentioned something interesting. So there's a LGTM distro or container image, and we get, you know, everything is already integrated there, and you are using this for testing. And what you also said is that in dev mode, Quarkus provides already dashboards. So are these dashboards in the image or native Quarkus dashboards in the dev console?
The dashboards are, the extension comes with, I think, four existing dashboards.
Like which extension? The OTEL extension from Quarkus?
The observability, Quarkus observability mm-hmm. dev service. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that starts the LGTM container or the image.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that, it properly integrates that dashboard configuration into Grafana. So you get Grafana dashboards. It's not Quarkus dashboard, it's Grafana dashboards.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it relies on the LGTM image, right? So, I mean, it relies on the Grafana in the image, on the image, right? Exactly.
Yeah, so what we do is what Grafana what Grafana knows and how the image also, what we do is we change the default Grafana configuration in that image. Mm-hmm. We override it with our own, right? With like two test containers. You can also add stuff into the images, right? Mm-hmm. You can override some of the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. That's what we do is we add those four Grafana dashboards already in. Mm-hmm. And if you have some own Grafana dashboard configuration in your application, mm-hmm. you also add that one into your Grafana, into the LGTM Grafana instance.
Okay. It's actually so pretty nice.
When people wanted to test something, they always had to go, okay, yeah, oh, nice, you have this LGTM stuff with Grafana. Let me see, let me click on. Then you had to, each time you restarted the stuff, right, the configuration from Grafana went away because it's like a development stuff, right? So you had to click through your dashboard configuration over and over again, mm-hmm. right? So there was like a interesting suggestion from the community. Could we have that so that we can just add our own Grafana dashboard into the app and we'll pick it up mm-hmm. and we'll properly configure it and install it into your existing Grafana dashboard.
It's a great idea, actually.
Yeah. And so just now you just open up Grafana. You can even like you have these fixed ports and so on, so you can just go, I think what Grafana is, localhost 3000. With that stuff, we even disabled, I think you don't have to log in anymore because previously it was like admin, right? Useless. Mm-hmm. And I think that they added support for that into the image. So you don't have to do that. It just directly throws mm-hmm. you into Grafana and then you can see your dashboard already, right?
So great. And this is the standard extension from Quarkus, I think, is OTel or Observability. I think
Observability. Yeah, Dev Services.
So you have two extensions because I think I used OTel recently. We're already.
Yeah, I mean this one is just for the dev services.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, that one. I think we give you a choice or what you want, right? Because you can either use OTel, you can use Micrometer, you can use whatever you want. If you just want, for example, what I'm working currently now is for some reason, the Prometheus itself wasn't exposed in the LGTM image, just like a week or probably 10 days ago. Mm-hmm. I contributed that to the LGTM repository, the changes, so that Pyroscope and Prometheus are now exposed as well. And what I'm working on is, so you can add your own, you can have the PromQL client, so you can do REST calls to the Prometheus directly.
Mm-hmm. What I use is the Quarkus OpenTelemetry extension.
That one adds the exporter, the
exactly
proper hooks, so that whenever you do the tracing, you do the matrix, they will be pushed and flushed automatically to the right. And either you're doing your own Prometheus or whatever, with the observability dev services, LGTM, you would get that all that stuff out of the box. But you can either use the OTel, you can use the old like Prometheus registry.
Mm-hmm. Quarkus observability dash dev services. Is this what you're talking about?
Yes.
This ships with the Grafana. It already uses the Grafana image as a dev service. I don't have to do anything. It just happens automatically, right? It downloads the image.
This
is actually great. Uh-huh. And the cool story is it was last released at December the 10th. And it is Quarkus Core, which is very good.
Yeah. It's the Quarkus Observability dash Dev Services minus LGTM. Because you have to be... The idea is the observability dev services. There was the initial idea was that there would be more than just LGTM, mm-hmm. right? But with LGTM covering all, you didn't even see the need to move forward with all the other stuff as well. Like I said, initially the idea was to have each like Prometheus separately, Grafana separately. Had the Jaeger support separately and so on. Uh-huh. But with LGTM, just doing everything that we wanted, we just focused around the LGTM a bit more. trying to make the LGTM experience as best as possible.
Mm-hmm. Very good. But my impression is that actually this OTEL will win and the micrometer or whatever doesn't matter anymore, right? Maybe it is used internally, but OTEL is the way to go, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, at the end, for the user, it should be pretty much transparent, right? So how that this stuff integrates properly into the HTTP server, into other things as well.
Yeah, yeah. But if you implement this as developer, right? I can use, I could potentially use, for instance, I would like to have a counter. I could use a microprofile matrix counter still. It is not I don't know whether the deprecated still works. I could use a micrometer counter, or I could use OTEL counter. And I think right now the way to go is to use the OpenTelemetry counter, and because it's the highest possible standard, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, probably. I mean, if you're going to probably go with the standard, you go with OTEL. If you still micrometer probably as the most popular, right? You can even go, probably you're not just going to go away, right?
Yeah, but I mean, OTEL is more than micrometer because it's available in all languages, and this is very broad. So I would say, because this is a unique story, because I would say this micro profile matrix was based on Prometheus at the very beginning, and only Prometheus was considered as, you know, as a how to call it, as a target. And then micrometer was considered as a more standardized way because it was not only about Prometheus but more than that, and the micrometer was used as a in Quarkus as a matrix. And I think right now we say, okay, micrometer is nice, but OTEL is even better. If it's OTEL is enough, or is it good enough, then from developer perspective, use OTEL. For user, I mean, the metrics, how they are exported, micrometer is OTEL compatible and OTEL is OTEL compatible. But if you start an application right now, Quarkus application, I think the best choice is to use the OpenTelemetry extension plus now Quarkus Observability Dev Services, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So for the testing and for the development, I think the quick turnaround with the LGTM stuff should be great.
Mm-hmm. And regarding the OTEL usage, so there are spans, there are attributes on spans, and there are events, right?
Yeah.
You integrated with gRPC or whatever? So you had the chance? Because what I would like to ask you, you know, what would be some idea of use? So, for instance, I could put, you know, attributes on spans. I could create events, which will be marked as a point in time in the span. And what can be used for what, you know?
I mean, gRPC-wise, I mean, the OTEL comes with two exporters, right? It's like the HTTP mm-hmm. exporter, and there's like a gRPC exporter. Mm-hmm. So it's more... I guess it's more compact or something like that.
No, I meant, I guess, because you were involved in gRPC, maybe you use OTEL to instrument gRPC itself stack in Quarkus.
The gRPC itself, it has a notion of interceptors, right? Mm-hmm. So it's already, you can either have server interceptors, you can have client interceptors.
Mm-hmm.
And how we added the telemetry support is to have both, we have the gRPC server telemetry, open telemetry interceptor, and we have the same stuff for the client.
Mm-hmm. And you're starting just spans, or you're also working with events and span attributes, or?
Good question. So, I mean, there's some stuff that there's already, I think we collect some of the matrix, and there's some for the tracing as well. I guess mm-hmm. we started the spans. So that was probably even done before my time, so I wasn't mm-hmm. involved with that.
Because the interesting question is with OpenTelemetry is it will end up being in Prometheus, Grafana, and whatever. So the question is to know how to deal with business events and how to deal with technical events, when to put what. And I would say the business events, if they help for monitoring or observability, go for it. But it's not like the business events will be accessed by the business department. It's not about audits. It's more about, you know, helping to debug the problem, right? So this was the question. So what I do right now is I have business events, I use them to help to identify, you know, let's say order happened and you get an error in the order process. then if you start the order event inside a span, you will see in Jaeger, for instance, okay, there is the span, and in the middle of the span there was the order, and after that something happened. So it helps you to debug the problems. You know what I mean with such events. And my question was just whether you used such events internally, maybe, or in your in your crypto project or whatever. So this was the idea. The question.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we were collecting some metrics, to at least plus tracing was also. I mean, I think at that time it was the open tracing, so we integrated. So that was long ago. But open tracing was actually still the thing. With metrics, I think we were collecting, like you said, directly Prometheus metrics.
Okay. Yeah, this is what we always.
We actually moved. We weren't using Prometheus. We were using Victoria Matrix, which is Prometheus-like. Plus, what you can do is at this. I mean, I remember at that time we actually wanted to push the matrix instead of just where Prometheus, it was just scraping the matrix, right? So you were configuring your Prometheus and Prometheus would scrape, whereas Victoria Matrix, you were able to push the matrix as well, also by actually pinpointing the timestamp on your own, right? Instead of just relying on being scraped. And Victoria Matrix is Prometheus-like, so it's the same API, the same experience, and so on. So.
Okay. And maybe last question regarding observability from Quarkus. What about logs? Because is the part of OpenTelemetry is also logs, right? And I think this is somehow supported with Quarkus, right?
Yeah, I think we should be there. I remember that we had some small formatting issues that we somehow fixed. So I think the logging should be there as well.
And you mentioned a couple of times during the podcast Bruno, and I guess Bruno Baptista, right? This is what,
yes.
Exactly, yeah. This is the OTEL guru. Perfect. Where people can find you on the internet?
I mean, like we said the last time, I'm not really a fan. I mean, a huge user of social stuff. But yeah, you can, like I said, probably the easiest is always, and it's the most transparent, is if anything doesn't work or there's like a feature that you want to have or whatever, open up a GitHub issue or it's like either a bug or a feature or whatever, and you can always assign it to me or at least at ls.lsj. It will then ping me through.
So all bugs should be assigned from now, Quarkus bugs, to you, right? So
yeah, the gRPC and everything else goes to Bruno or Clement.
Okay. And people maybe can also meet you once at Java User Group Ljubljana from time to time.
Each year we have a conference. I probably need to invite you as well. I mean, I'll send you an email about it. I've been organizing a Java conference in Slovenia for the last 18
What's
years.
The name?
We changed the name throughout the years, depending on... we started off with actually Java Blend. And then quickly got an email from Oracle that you're not allowed to use that. Where was it? I think, yeah. I mean, I remember we got an email, you're not allowed to use Java.
Yeah, Java Police was the same problem back then, right? Yeah, so it was it was how DevOps happened.
Yeah, then we moved to OpenBlend. So we still somehow, we instead, to be somehow independent, not be really tied to any company or whatsoever, we have a society called OpenBlend. It's like a few of us. And conference is done through OpenBlend. At one point, when Oracle bought Sun, there's also, of course, Slovenian Oracle user group. They're also tasked with organizing a Java conference. So we joined forces since 2014 or something like that. So it's OpenBlend and Slovenian Oracle user group together organizing this conference. It's the end of May. I'm always there, right? As an organizer, I should be there.
How big is the conference?
I mean, it's 3 days, 1 day of workshops, and then 2 days of at least two Java tracks. Uh-huh. Right? Since, like I said, we are joined with Soina Oracle User Group, so there's a separate tracks covering Oracle stuff, but there's always two Java tracks. Together with the Oracle stuff, it's around like 450 people.
Yeah, not bad. It's actually a mid-range conference. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. And it's at the seaside, so at the Slovenian Adriatic coast. Quite nice. During that time, it's already almost...
So that means all developers are on the beach and no one is at the conference center.
Yeah, right? They're just drinking beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoying
this
the
is
sun,
why right? This is the high attendance there.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. So every listener should immediately register to the next Open Blend conference, of course, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. So thank you. It was a pleasure. And I'm really excited with the Quarkus Observability Dev Services.
Yeah, you should definitely have a look and create your own Grafana dashboard and check it out.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
Super cool. It was nice.